the will of God. Probably some of you have heard of this very sad story of a preacher. He's known to be a pastor already, but he did this. He's married, but he did that very awful sin. And he shouldn't have done that. And when the authorities find out that he was doing this, he has already committed this 100 times more before. And I was questioning, was he not pricked by the Spirit to have done that? And that he was only that the time when he was convicted or sin or being reprimanded that he realized it was sin. Is that a 10, not 10 times, but more than 100 times? And David here, when he was convicted of his sins, he was quick. And if we are people, man, a woman after God's own heart, we must be people willing always to submit to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, he said, create in me a clean heart. You know, when you say, you create in me a clean heart, you realize, you really say to the Lord, Lord, you know my heart. It's evil, it's wicked, it's wicked. It's evil, it has all the filthy things in my heart that cause me to wander from thee. Create in me. And this is the desire of one who wants to follow God, who wants to always be obedient to the will of God. Create in me a clean heart. A clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And this is his desire. This is not something that he has a bad spirit, but he is now saying that, you know, the spirit that's in me is now influenced by the enemy, by the evil spirit, and I am prone, I am inclined to do what is bad, what is evil. I have sinned against thee. Lord, renew me and make me a clean heart so that I will always follow you. And this is a repentant heart. And as a man after God's own heart is a man after the conviction of the Spirit, that when he is convicted, he is willing and will always repent of his sin right there when he is convicted. He will not wait for people to discover that he has done this several times. He will not wait for the expose to be given and to be broadcasted to the whole congregation that such a pastor, such a member have done this. Right there and then he is willing to repent of his sins. Why he is willing, why he wants to have a clean heart, why he wants to have a right spirit renewed within him? Because he is desiring to pursue after God's own heart. And God's own heart wants us, and this is the general decree for every one of us, that we must be holy as he is holy. This is something that is a decree, a command, God's demand for all of us to be holy as God is holy. And therefore, when we desire after God's own heart, we want also to be holy as it is his will, it is his heart, it is his desire for us to be holy. And therefore, we must desire to be holy. And when we have that desire for holiness in our lives, we are people sensitive always to what we say, sensitive always to everything that we do in our lives. We are careful, and every time we are convicted, we are willing to admit. We should not say it is because of this person, it's because of these circumstances that I have done that. I am a sinner, O God, I have done that because I am a sinner, and please forgive me and restore me and give me a right spirit, a new heart, a clean heart, O God. That's why a person who is truly after God's own heart, every time he is prayerful, and before we retire in the night, it is good for us to reflect upon our lives, to look and to see how we have done, and God to convict us of what we have done against Him. It is important. I myself have experienced so many times because of the tiredness of ministry, just, you know, reach and then sleep without even, you know, time for prayer. You're too tired and just utter or mumble some kind of prayers which even you don't even remember what it is. You must honestly admit such kind of prayers. Then convict the Lord. What is this kind of prayer? Am I a person who is really trying to please Thee, or I'm just doing this kind of exercise, this kind of prayer, just to say that I have prayed, but I really did not communicate with Thee? And there is this open communication between God and us. If we are to follow God's own heart, we have this open communication. A man after God's own heart is a man after God's Spirit, and he is a man renewed with the Spirit of God. He desires to be renewed by the Spirit of God daily. And as we are renewed, we grow. As we are renewed and being cleansed, we are maturing in our faith. We do not mature in the faith when we do not acknowledge that we fail. It is said, and it is true, that the moment there is this difficulty in a Christian life, like you are climbing a mountain, that's the time that actually you are maturing, because you mature, your level of maturity is increasing, because there is this understanding that you need God and you have to be with Him, and God to help you in everything that you do so that you can overcome your difficulties in life. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I pray we have this desire daily in our lives. We should not wait for 1 week, 1 year. You know, we wait for December 31 to recall what we have done from January 1 to December 30. Every day before we retire, even the time that we do our ministries or some activities, we want to reflect upon what we have done, so that we ask God to bless us, to help us renew in the right spirit. Then the second, or the verse 11 here, he says, "Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, this is not something like, you know, the Holy Spirit can be, can indwell us, and then after that He can also leave us, as if a Christian can, you know, can be lost and be left by the Spirit of God. This is His desire, to be always empowered by the Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit can also empower a person to do ministries, to do his work, to do his role, to do his function. And here he knows he's a born-again Christian. David knew that he is a child of God, yet he needs the Holy Spirit to fill him, to guide him in order to fulfill his work as a king. So when he is convicted, he knows that the Spirit of God is not controlling him. It is the spirit of sin, the spirit of the enemy. Now he asks for a right spirit, and he is asking now God to empower him. So a person who is after God's own heart is one who really wants to do his best for the Lord. He's not just for mediocre. He's not just to do this because, you know, what is required of me, so I can do this, and then after that it's finished. He seeks to do what is best, and therefore he is asking for the Holy Spirit to fill him. The filling of the Holy Spirit upon us. This is important for us to really seek God's filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is not just to fill us like the charismatics, and say, oh, you know, and filled with the Spirit. So you think you are filled with the Spirit because you are shaking. And that is not filling the Spirit. Filling here, the Spirit is you are, you know, like a sailboat. The Spirit is not a wind, it is just an influence. But an illustration of a sailboat that is moving and doing according to the strength and the power of the wind. That's the sailboat. And for us who are filled with the Spirit, we are depending always on the strength and the power of the Spirit. You know, a sailboat cannot move without the wind. And so also with us. There are many times that we do it according to our own strength. And I know there are many times also that I do and I plan ministries or I plan things according to my own thinking, according to my past experiences, according to how I have done it before, according to what others have told me, and forget everything of how the Spirit must lead me. It's tempting because, you know, we are people who are influenced by this pragmatism where what was successful before, this is good, that is best, then we should follow that and we should get it and we should apply this in our ministry. But the Spirit of God is different. Sometimes there are suggestions, there are leadings of the Spirit of God that are even, you know, in the thinking of man is ridiculous. It's something that shouldn't be done. It can be explained, but we can see later that it is the Spirit of God moving. And that is only possible when we are dependent always in the Spirit of God. And when we are dependent in the Spirit of God, we are prayerful people. Prayerful to seek for God to open our eyes and our minds what God wants us to do. And in verse 12, it says also here, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Now, he was not just concerned of the empowerment of God upon his life to do what God wants him to do in order to please him and to follow God's heart and to pursue after God's own will. But he wants it also to have this joyful spirit to do it. You know, there are people who really are good in serving God. They are good to the extent that they are so busy. But they are so busy, but you can see the joy and contentment in their lives. They have served God for many years. They have done service unto God for these things. And if you will just measure their service to God or their Christianity with how long they serve and how much they have given unto God, you really will find yourself like, you know, in Singapore Zoo, there is this place where they call the land of the giants. They're so big, you know, some big things there. You will find very a minute, you know, a dwarf compared to these people who have served God for such a long years, and have served God so much that they have given themselves, and you can really appreciate how they labored much for the Lord. You cannot really discount and take away all what they have given unto God. You see it in your own lives. They are dedicated, they have given their lives to the Lord, and you can say, well, these are what should be the model of these people who should be called Christians. But if you will see their lives, I hope it's just an external. They are always pouting. They are always murmuring. They are always, you know, they do things, but they are angry. They are mad always at people. They do that, but you're gonna feel the heart that they are really enjoying what they are doing. David says here, when I want to serve you, Lord, and you will empower me, I will not only be working much for thee, I will not only be doing many things and greater things for thee, but let me have the joy also of doing them. It's not that you keep on laughing when you do things. You'll be also suspected of being mad or getting crazy if you just continue laughing. In MRT coming here, there was this boy who was just keep on singing, shouting in the MRT. Of course, I can understand probably he was a special child. But if you are doing that in a service without something to laugh at, and you are laughing, then there is also strength. But what the joy here that David desires is for him to have this blessedness, this internal joy, that I do this because I please God. Do you feel joy when you are in the fellowship, or are you really blessed? I mean, I must be in the fellowship because I have this kind of feeling, of, not just feeling, but I know deep in my heart that I enjoy the presence of my brothers, sisters. There are people who are fidgety and become stressed when they are going to some kind of fellowship. I'm going to the fellowship again today. My mom wants me to be there. Actually, you don't want to be there, but because you're expected to be there, you just want to be in the group, but really in your heart you're struggling. And David doesn't want to offer himself to God with so many things before, but he is not rejoicing over it. When we are people after God's own heart, we are serving Him with joy. Not that we don't have tears. In fact, probably you don't understand this, or if you are having a congregation, I myself am just a very small group of people to minister. You have more tears than more time to rejoice, laugh and smile with others. You hear that they don't stop coming and they are doing this. You will see in their profile they are showing off things that are supposed to be their Christian. They are taught how to, they know what to put there, but you would just be surprised that you are posting such kind of pictures. It's difficult. But there still should be some kind of internal joy that can't be removed even with these kind of difficulties. And for you young people, probably you have less of these worries about others. You are thinking of your exams, you are thinking of your studies, you are thinking of your future work, you are thinking of your future partner in life. But still, in serving the Lord, please desire that you have this eternal joy. And that is what David described here of the joy of thy salvation. That hope and assurance that I will be, in the end, be with God forever and ever. That in spite of these difficulties in life, in spite of what I'm going through, in spite of these classmates, in spite of these exams, in spite of these projects, in spite of this, no job available for me, in spite of nobody is looking at me, nobody's interested with me, I still have this joy that someday when God, when the Lord Jesus comes, I'll be with Him and I'll be in Him forever and ever. Somehow in our Christianity today, because of the many things that bothers us in this world, we are so busy with the things of this world that we forget eternity ahead of us. And that robs us of our joy. That even we are scared to you know, to think of Jesus Christ coming, because I still want this. I still want to experience this. I still have to have this. I still have to possess this. That joy of salvation must be in us. Because if we have that joy of salvation in our lives as we serve Him, we really please God, because our service unto Him is not something just to force, not just compel, but there is this heart to give. I mean, I believe you experience this, but you must understand that when you have this joy in serving, there is contentment, there is satisfaction. And I pray that this will be our attitude towards pleasing God and towards following the Lord. We are not just doing it because elder told me so. I was assigned by the pastor. I was assigned by this preacher. I am an FEBC student, therefore I must preach. I cannot say no. No, this is not something. I preach because I have this desire to impart the Word of God, because it's my calling. And when I impart the Word of God, I must have this joy of letting you know that this is God's Word for you. And that is the heart of every believer. Whether there is poverty, my children don't have food, I have some problems with the status of my children, I must first come with joy in preaching the Word of God, because that's what God assigns me to do. He has anointed, appointed me to do that, and I have to do it with joy. Uphold me with a free spirit. The word free here is willing spirit. Willing spirit. You are not somebody who is pulled and, you know, just or pushed to do it. You are willing. And that willing spirit is that blessedness, that joy that you have. You know, when you enjoy things, you really would like to do it, right? If you enjoy cooking, even if you don't want, if there are just few things to cook, you know, you are ready to cook. You probably have not tried Brother Eugene's recipe. And you can taste the joy in the food. I mean, the joy of the cook by tasting the food. I am not saying that Steve G is. I think she's better. But you know, you have the joy in doing that. You know, I enjoy cooking also. The only thing is, my children sometimes they don't enjoy what I cook. So, especially after I cook, my daughters will always say, like, you know, the kitchen was hurricane or some kind of typhoon. So everything is, you know, messy. They will always complain. So I prevent myself from cooking, but there are times I really want to cook for them. And the thing is, I have to, after I cook, I have to force them to eat. I cook for you, I do this, I spend time, I just did that a few days ago. And I was forced also to re-cook it, because I somehow later realized that it was not properly cooked and it was undone yet. But there is joy. When you have the joy of doing it, you have that willing spirit. You have the willingness to do it. You have the desire to continue on doing it. And when you want to follow after God's own heart, and the Spirit filling you, the Spirit renewing you always, the Spirit will cause you to do it with joy and willingness to serve and do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. So I pray this is also our attitude towards pursuing after God's own heart. We are motivated to pursue after the Word of God. There is joy in serving. And there is contentment in what the Lord has assigned for us. Now, joy in serving does not mean, as I mentioned earlier, that you're just laughing and smiling all the time. It is an internal joy, blessedness that is manifested in godliness, the desire to serve God. Now, in verse 13, he says also here, the very end or chief end of why we have to be after God's Spirit. He says here, then, because if you renew my heart, if you renew or if you clean my heart and renew a right spirit within me, and you will give me, or you will not take out the spirit from me, and you will grant me joy and willing spirit, then my desire will be for that I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And there are many, and I sometimes must be honest that there are times that I preach, and there are preachers who preach that with their hearts burdened, and there is still sin in them. They don't want to surrender it, they don't want to be cleansed by God, you want to harbor it because, you know, it caused so much pain to me. I still have this hatred, and you preach God's word. Well, you will be able to teach, you will be able to preach, you will be able to expound, but sinners shall not be converted. Only when we are thoroughly cleansed by the Spirit of God, thoroughly convicted and repented of our sins and restored in God, can we teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted into Him. Sinners shall be converted. There shall be fruit out of that preaching. There shall be a result out of that teaching. Because it is not you who is expounding, it is not you who is preaching, it is the Spirit of God that brings the word into the hearts of the people. I have mentioned earlier to Elder Chung and Brother Eugene, that last week I was with Reverend Koshi. He was our speaker in the conference, Bible conference in the Philippines. And he, you know, I don't want to say more of some problems in the church, but he said there are many who can really expound well, exposite, meaning draw lessons and explain well the scriptures unto the people. But their heart are not in it. They are not even believing what they are preaching. They are not even doing what they are teaching. They are not practicing what they are proclaiming in the world. And this is scary also for me. Because somehow in the Bible College we are trained to define, expound, show this, make illustrations, give testimony, and show to the people that this is the Word of God. But the very first question that we preachers must also think of ourselves is, really, do I believe what I'm preaching? Do I practice what I'm telling the people? Do I do these things? I may teach transgressors their ways, but they shall not be converted if the Spirit of God is not cleansing me, the Spirit of God is not giving me power, the Spirit of God is not holding me, the Spirit of God is not working in the words that I'm doing. And it's also true to our individual lives. It's not only for preachers and teachers and pastors, it is also true in our individual lives. We must be filled with the Spirit of God, so that God can use us as mighty instruments to bring others, so that we can tell others of the goodness of God and the favor that He has given us. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. So David was an example here of the one who is after the Spirit of God. And in the New Testament, Paul also continued to utter or write these words. If you look at Romans chapter 8, So this again to challenge us, to remind ourselves whether we are truly truly people who are following or pursuing after the heart of God. Because in verse 1 of chapter 8 of Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, here, this is the qualifying phrase of a man not under condemnation. And you will notice that this phrase actually is not in the modern versions. Because there are many people who believe today that they are not under the condemnation of God, though they are not walking after the Spirit of God. The faithful translation of the original text is clear here. He who is not under the condemnation because they are in Christ Jesus, they are in Christ Jesus because they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. And again, in verse 4, it is again mentioned that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says here, and it's what Paul is calling us all to do, to please God, to pursue after His heart. It says here in verse 16 of Galatians 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." The inclination that our desire, our hearts, to do what is evil, we cannot do that if we are living and walking after the Spirit of God. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." The main idea here is not that we are not to obey the law, but we are not under the condemnation of the law. Remember in Romans 8:1, not that we should not obey the law. We are not under the condemnation of the law because we are led by the Spirit of God. "Now what are the works of the Spirit, the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which," remember this phrase, "I tell you before, as I have told you, also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now this does not mean that if you have done this before you were saved, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The idea here is when you continue to practice these sins, even if you profess and confess that you are a Christian, you show to the world that you are a believer, you wear crosses or whatever big cross, or carry a big Bible, and wear whatever shirts that print about Christ, and you are still continuing to do these works of the flesh, you are not worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. You are not a man after God's own heart. You are a man after your own flesh. And this is what is so discouraging, as probably some FABC students would have heard, when even former students of the college who are supposed to be or should have been led by the Spirit of God because they have learned so much from God's Word, and yet they continue doing these works in the flesh. And if this is seen in those people who are trained in Bible colleges, I don't know what is in the church that they are leading or they are working with. I thank God that we still have this faithfulness in the preaching of God's Word in our churches. I pray that we are sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And here we can contrast of a person who is after the spirit, because in verses 22 to 25, it says here, but the fruit of the spirit is love. That's why when we are serving God and we are filled with the spirit, we are serving in love. You know, you can serve God with all your best, you can serve God with all in all your lives, but without love, you will just be like a clanging cymbal. It will not bring any good tidings unto the people. You serve and filthy words comes from your mouth. You serve and cursing and complaining comes out from your mouth. You serve and there are so many murmurings and backbitings that comes from you. That will be, that is not the fruit of the Spirit. Because in the Spirit there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law, there is no condemnation, because they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I pray that we will be reminded of this. It is somehow neglected in many Bible-believing churches because of the giving of much emphasis in the Holy Spirit in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. So for us, we don't even want to think of the Holy Spirit, because somehow Holy Spirit is associated with these churches. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit in us. And abiding in the presence of God is through abiding also of the Spirit working in our lives. And so to close this second topic, a man after God's own heart is a man after the Spirit of God. How we can know and understand that we are after the Spirit of God? We are sensitive to the conviction of our sins being renewed by the Spirit of God. We are sensitive to the Holy Spirit in showing to us our sinfulness, and that we are quick in repenting of our sins, willingness to be restored and reconciled with God. Not only that we are reconciled to God, we are also seeking to be empowered by the Spirit of God to serve the Lord with the best we can, relying in Him alone to accomplish whatever He has done, He wants us to do. And when we want to pursue this work, we are seeking for God's joy and contentment. We are not just satisfied that we are doing it. We pray that the Lord will grant us joy and contentment, satisfaction in this assignment that He has given us. And then, not only that we do this service just for them to know and see that we are serving, our end, our purpose is for others to see that when we serve, we are light and salt of this earth, that others will be attracted and will come to seek after the God whom we serve. And that is how David prayed for his life to be after the Spirit of God. He wants himself to be used by God as an instrument for lost souls to be brought into His kingdom, and the backsliding brethren to be restored in their life, in their daily life. That is important. And I pray you would now think also of these brethren who are not here, who are walking away from the Lord, backsliding, not doing what the Lord wants them to do, and they have professed Christ as your Savior and Lord. May we, as people who desire to be pursuing after God's own heart, we are also having this fruit of the Spirit to love them and to care for them and to bring them back into the fold of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for thy Spirit indwelling in us who confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, and he is now with thee in heaven, and we look forward to his coming again to bring us up with thee and to live with thee forever and ever. Thank thee, Lord, for the promise of salvation assurance, O God, to all those who believe in thee. We pray, Father, that thy Spirit indwelling in us will cause us to be sensitive to the conviction of the Spirit of our sins, and willing and ready to repent, and desire to give our utmost service unto thee, and even desire for lost souls to come into thy kingdom. We pray, Father, that may you help us and continue to encourage us to walk and to pursue after God's own heart. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.